Take your Bibles and turn, please, to 2 Corinthians 9. And tonight we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 11. And you might think, oh no, another message on giving. We do have quite a bit on giving in these couple of chapters here, but tonight we're going to look at some important truths in regard to giving, but many of these truths are things that can be applied to other areas of our spiritual lives. There are some important truths that I'd like us to look at, five truths in regard to giving. I think that can really help to transform not only our giving, but some of these truths can really aid us in other aspects of our Christian lives. It says in verse number 7, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." The first truth I'd like to look at this evening is the prominence of giving. Notice what it says in verse number 7, and I'll explain that a little more. We'll explain that aspect of the prominence of giving. But it says, "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity." Then here we find the prominent place of giving. It says, "For God loveth a cheerful giver." It says, "not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Think about that tonight. God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, many of you may have known Grant Rice. Now, if we had a fellowship at church and Grant Rice was going to be at that fellowship, there would probably be one item that would definitely be at that fellowship. Can anyone tell me what it would be?
Banana cream pie.
Okay, banana cream pie. All right, Grant Rice, he liked banana cream pie. And so I think normally if we had a fellowship and Grant Rice was there, somebody would make banana cream pie. I don't know, did anyone ever make a banana cream pie for a fellowship? Mrs. Myers, Mrs. Buda. So anyways, he liked banana cream pie. And when Grant Rice was here, he was a great blessing to our church. And what would you want to do? Well, you'd want to bring, you know, what he liked. You know, you can think if the governor came to our church for some reason and you knew there was a favorite food that he had. You know, I don't think we'd be sitting there thinking, all right, what's the least favorite food on his list that we would want to bring? Let's have a fellowship with that kind of food. I don't think that would be what we would want to do. Why? Because, well, that's what the governor likes. Well, here we find it says that God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, do we want to do that which is pleasing in the sight of God? It says we must do it. It says, not grudgingly. It should be something that is not done out of grief. It should not be something that giving that money is something that is a pain. You know, we're counting maybe all the things that we could get if we didn't put that money and give it to the Lord. You know, maybe it's that new iPod that you're trying to save up for. You know, or a vehicle, or a fishing pole, or maybe a sewing machine, or maybe a new dress, or maybe a trip somewhere. And you're sitting there, oh, putting this money in kind of hurts. You know, and it's just like, oh, do I really have to do it? And there's that grudgingly giving. But we regret, but we forget the great God that we are giving to. You know, you think if God was coming, and hopefully he's here in our midst, the Holy Spirit, the church is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Are we seeking to do that which is pleasing to him? We think it normal to do it for a man, maybe that we held in high esteem. But yet we are coming to worship the great God of heaven, and God loves a cheerful giver. It says not grudgingly, it says not out of necessity, not viewing it as something that we have to do. And we covered that somewhat before. He talked about he was going to send somebody ahead of time so that when they came, it was done, and it wasn't something that would be a matter of covetousness, but something that would be a matter of bounty. Giving should not be something that we feel like we just have to do. You know, giving has a great place of prominence in the heart of God. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? That he gave. God didn't give out of necessity or grudgingly, but he gave because he loved us. Amen. Now I wonder tonight, do we have that same love for God? And we want to please God with our lives. We want to please him with our offerings to him. God loves a cheerful giver. He set the standard high. At the end of this chapter it says, but thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Giving has a great place of prominence in the heart of God. And it ought to have a great place of prominence in our own hearts. You know, tonight, do we have that motivation? The Apostle Paul said in chapter 5, for the love of Christ constraineth me. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The prominence of giving in the heart of God. You know, how much love do we have towards God? Giving ought to have a prominent place, because God loves a cheerful giver. The second truth I'd like to look at tonight is found in the next verse. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I'd like to see here the provision of giving, or the provision for giving. It says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Giving is not about our ability, but it is about God's ability. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. We find that this provision is complete. It says all grace. Later on in the verse it says that you always having all sufficiency in all things. This grace that God is providing, his provision is complete. You know, when you give to God, you don't have to worry that you're not going to have enough. You know that God wants you to give a certain amount. And you're not viewing it as, oh no, look at what I'm giving up. But out of a heart of gratitude for what God has done on your behalf, for how he has provided, for how he has blessed your life, And you find that his provision for your life is going to be complete. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, "My grace is sufficient. For my strength is made what? Is made perfect." God's provision is complete. It says there in the chapter, it says, "And all things may abound to what? To every good work." There is no work that God expects us to do that his grace is not sufficient for. God's provision is complete, whether it's in the realm of giving, the grace of giving, or whether it's in the realm of something else. God's provision is complete. You know, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." But the problem is that God has to bring us... The problem is that we don't recognize our weakness and our need of God's grace. And the Apostle Paul, God gave him that thorn in the flesh that Paul might have that constant dependency upon God. And tonight we need to recognize the completeness of God's provision. But not only is this provision complete, but this provision is also supernatural. He says, God is able to make what? All grace abound toward you. This is something that God does. Not something that we get because we deserve it, but it's a supernatural work of his grace. So it's complete, it's supernatural. This provision is also overflowing. It says that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may what? May abound to every good work. Why is God giving us this provision? So that we can overflow with good works. You know, God doesn't want a bunch of stingy believers. No, that's not going to bring much glory to his grace. God wants generous, cheerful believers in which his grace, in which his working can abound in their lives. This is something that is an overflowing provision. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, notice the overflowing provision. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be what? Might be rich." This grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is something that is, this provision is what? It's overflowing. He doesn't save us and we become poor. He saves us and we become rich. Amen. And tonight we need to understand the overflowing provision of God's grace. You know, we approach life so many times the wrong way. And instead of seeing things from the supernatural provision of God, we see it from a merely physical perspective. You know, the children of Israel about ready to enter the promised land, and God had all the provision to defeat the enemy. But what did they see? They saw the giants. Physically, they had no chance, really. But they forgot on the overflowing provision of God. And he had showed himself great. He divided the Red Sea. He had showed himself strong in their behalf, but yet they failed to see his provision. But then the third truth I'd like to look at is the promise of giving. Notice as the thought is, it continues in verse number 9, and the Word of God here quotes from the Old Testament in the book of Psalms. It says, "As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever." I'd like us to look over at Psalm 112 and verse 9. Look at this verse here in its context. And we see the promise here that is given to the righteous man. "So he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor." This is referring to the righteous man. Psalm 112, verse 9. He had to, let's back up a little bit. Verse number 5. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. The result, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. So here's the promise. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The action, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. So here is the promise. What's one of the promises? Eternal reward. What did Paul say there? His righteousness remaineth forever. Here is the great promise of giving. This is not something, we're giving something temporal, and we're getting something eternal in return. It's a quote, a verse we've referred to before in these messages on giving, where Paul, where the word of God is through the apostle Paul, he's speaking to the Philippians. You know, what did he desire for them? That there would be fruit, that there would, that would abound to their account. And here with giving, we have the opportunity to exchange something temporary for something eternal. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. There is an eternal reward. There's also, it talks about the exalted position there in verse number 9 of Psalm 112, his horn. The idea of his horn is the horn was like a symbol of strength. His horn shall be exalted with honor. You know, you might think, boy, I'm giving up on myself. Boy, look how poor it's going to make me. And I was reading in one commentary, and it was kind of making the point that, you know, what kind of people, usually it's not the people that are giving that are the people that are poor necessarily. You know, but here he has it, his horn shall be exalted with honor. There is going to be an exalted position. What are we living for? Are we living for that eternal reward? Or are we living for the temporal gratification? I mentioned yesterday in the message over at Camp Joy that I preached. And really, what is maturity? Maturity is being willing to set aside the temporary gratification for lasting satisfaction. And are we willing to set that aside so that God can give us his eternal reward? So we see here the promise of giving. His righteousness remaineth forever. As we give to God, it's not something that's just going to pass away. But this is a work that is going to continue on. Verse number 10. We find here the prayer of giving. You might wonder, how in the world are my needs going to be provided for? It says, verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So it's almost as if the apostle Paul is praying for the people here. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase fruits of your righteousness. You may feel like what you have to give is so small, but God can multiply it. You know, you may feel like it will not accomplish much, but God can increase the harvest. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but what? But God gave the increase. You know, we can sow seeds. You know, we can only sow, so to speak, in the area of giving, as many seeds as we have. But God can do what? God can multiply that seed. You know, there's only maybe so much of a harvest that's going to come from so many seeds, but God can what? God can multiply, increase the fruits of your righteousness. So we find here the prayer of giving. Taking that which we offer and praying that God would multiply it. Lord, this is all I have to give. May you take what I have given. Out of a cheerful heart, out of gratitude for what you have done, and may you multiply it. The prayer of giving. And you think, you know, look at what Jesus did with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, do you think that mother, if she had packed the lunch today, do you think she had any idea what would happen with her son's lunch that day? Look at how God was able to multiply it. The Lord Jesus Christ, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and was able to feed multitudes of people. You know, if the Lord Jesus Christ can do that with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, what can he do with what we offer? He can do great things. He can do beyond our expectations. You know, are we willing by faith to give that to him and seek for him to multiply that which we have given? You know, there's one rule of multiplication. What is that? You have to have something there to multiply, don't you? And if there's nothing given to multiply, there's not going to be what? Multiplication. Can you multiply 0? You know, you can keep adding 0 plus 0 plus 0 plus 0 for the rest of your life, and you're still going to have 0. You can multiply 0 as many times as you want, but you're still going to have 0. And so, the prayer of giving, the Lord is able to multiply, but obviously there has to be something there to give. But notice here the multiplication here as you look at verse number 11. It says, being enriched in everything to what? To all bountifulness, to all generosity. You know, God does not give you more seed that you can live, so to speak, a more luxuriant life for yourself. But he multiplies your seed that you might be able to give more. And God enriches our lives. He blesses our lives. But what does he do? Being enriched in everything to what? To all bountifulness. To all bountifulness. He enriches, he blesses that we might what? Be able to give. Give more. And then we see the product of giving, lest we think that this blessing is all about us, which causeth through us, what? Thanksgiving to who? To God. You know, the product of giving in God's plan is that God is glorified. And here, they were able to minister this gift through the Apostle Paul and others. But what was going to be the result? Thanksgiving was going to be made to God. And giving ultimately brings glory to God. What a great truth that God can be glorified through our giving. You know, as you give to missions, as lost souls are reached, What is it about? It's about thanksgiving, being able to be offered to God for what He has done. And as that money that has been given, God has been able to use it to work in people's lives, to give the opportunity for people that may have not been able to hear the gospel, to hear the gospel and to see souls get saved. And thanksgiving is offered to God. The product of giving. Is it to build ourselves up? No, it isn't. Ananias and Sapphira tried that. And what happened? They were killed. And ultimately, God was glorified. Wouldn't you much rather have God glorified through obedience, to see that His ways are righteous? Boy, as we think of the great promise, the great, not just the promise, but the great provision that God has provided. And if we will simply, by faith, trust God for that provision, we can see Him work in our lives. And what will be the result? Thanksgiving. God will be glorified. What a great thing to have a heart of thanksgiving. You know, somebody that's thankful is somebody that's what? There's joy. You know, have you ever found somebody that was thankful that was miserable? No. And as we learn these truths, as God begins to work them in our lives, and giving is what is here in the context. But you know, there's other areas of our lives that these things can be applied to. The great joy that can be brought into our lives. You know, we live in a land that, you know, you hear the phrase, the almighty dollar. And so many people are living for that. And tonight, if we can begin to see the almighty God and what we give, that He can take it and accomplish far greater things than we could ever imagine. You know, many people think, oh, I could get all this money and it's going to accomplish all these great things for me. You know, they win the lottery and their life goes down the tubes. You know, the opposite can happen. As we give, God can what? Bring great joy, great accomplishment, eternal reward. But we have to be willing to lay it out there for God to take and to multiply, and for us to be able to see His provision as we entrust our lives to Him. You know, we serve a great God, and the ultimate example of giving is our God, is our Lord and Savior, and what has taken place, what He did when He gave Himself for us. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You know, tonight, do you want to please our Lord? Is there that heart that wants to set aside the necessity doing it because we have to? The grudgingly, the pain it's causing us, and instead focus on the love that has been shown us, and in return, do that which would bring pleasure to our God. May we learn tonight these great truths of giving. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we look to you tonight, realizing that, Lord, we are selfish. Lord, we many times do not even recognize how selfish we are. And Lord, you have been so good to us. You have given us so much. And yet you desire to give us so much more. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would be willing to step out in faith. And Lord, that we might see the sufficiency of your grace. Lord, that we would recognize our own weakness. And Lord, that we would recognize the great joy, Lord, the great glory that can be brought to your name as we simply learn to trust you. Lord, these are supernatural things that you want to work in our lives. And Lord, our flesh doesn't want to step out and trust you. But Lord, we pray tonight that you would help us to step out. Lord, our spirit many times is, Lord, our spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Lord, may you work in each life tonight. And may we be willing to allow you to do, Lord, that work that you would want to do. Lord, if there is someone tonight that has not experienced the greatness of your grace, Lord, that unspeakable gift in which you gave of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins, Lord, may they recognize and turn to Christ tonight, realizing what he has done for them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.